Interstate 35. You look to the left, and it's kind of flat, and then it rises up. You look to the right, and it kind of is very flat for a while. There's a gravel pit out there that Hallett's runs. That is all gravel underneath there. And so it's just a huge area where that we can use for water supply. And I can say that not as many communities have that much stuff. So they have some of it, but not as much as maybe we have. And so we kind of live in a, if you, for better lack of a better term, a sweet spot for you know, groundwater and groundwater supply.
And so the alluvial aquifer would be just the general, any aquifer that comes from a river?
Right. So it would consist of the deposits of the river as it meanders back and forth. It deposits sand and gravel as well as in the bottom of the channel, as well as overbank deposits that are the silt deposits. And those, over time, as the thing migrates back and forth, it builds laterally those sediments. It also builds vertically. So you get an aquifer built on top of whatever was there to begin with. So it may have cut down somewhat, but then it just builds up from there. And generally along streams, that's why it's oftentimes, you know, you can find pretty good water supply right along streams, you know, that are pretty big. I mean, you know, most of the major rivers in Iowa, the Iowa, the Cedar, the Des Moines, Raccoon, all have these kinds of alluvial systems that are associated with them. All right, so, but underneath all this story is the vast network of buried valleys that are in Iowa that are below this, and that, you know, sometimes go to 100, 150 feet below the ground surface, and you don't see any vestige of them. And those are all over Iowa, and they're all connected, which to some degree to some larger channel. So there was a network of these buried channels that were major rivers way back when, before the glaciers advanced, probably, and that were very active as part of our landscape processes.
When was the glacial age that brought down the Des Moines Lobe and all of the silt that we see on top of it?
Well, the initial glaciation to, say, to Des Moines, which kind of is why it's called the Des Moines Lobe, was about 14 to 14.5,000 years ago. Then there are a series of maybe advances or retreats gradually back up towards Minnesota. Here in Ames, it's probably about, the ice was here maybe about 13,700 years. Process occurred is still kind of under investigation. We don't know if it was one big advance and then it retreated sequentially or if it was a series of small advances. But that pretty much covered up, you know, everything that we see on the landscape today. But there were other glaciations
Jackson, and you are listening to my conversation with Bill Simpkins, a hydrogeologist in ISU's geology department, about Central Iowa's groundwater. Coming up, he explains what makes the tap water in Ames taste so good. You knew it tasted good, right?
I've heard the term shallow well and deep well. Seems like a deep well would be a better quality source.
Yeah, generally, if you have a water quality problem and you have a shallow well, they'll tell you to drill deeper. So, and most of the time that works. So in Iowa, the general kind of shallow versus deep cutoff is like 50 feet. So anything less than 50 feet is shallow, anything more than 50 feet is deep. And a lot of our literature in the state is kind of geared towards that. So generally, in the past, the water quality in these deeper systems has been better for a variety of reasons. They may have to do with the chemistry of the aquifer that's deeper. Deeper wells would generally have a longer travel time for a contaminant at the surface to get to those wells. So that what that means is that in your lifetime, you may not see the nitrate that was put that was coming in the aquifer yesterday get down to the deeper aquifer. But certainly shallow wells are much more in communication with the surface. A lot of these are water table aquifers, which means the water table is at the surface, and that's where all that stuff hits that's coming in from the surface. All it infiltrates to the water table. And then you get that stuff in there a lot quicker. So the cycle time in those shallow aquifers is much quicker, and so that tends to get stuff in faster, and that's why you see it. So if you start seeing a lot of stuff coming into your well, generally the well driller will tell you, well, just let's go down to the next aquifer down, and it's probably fine. Sometimes, though, that doesn't solve the problem. And what we're finding in other areas of the country is that we're finding things in deeper wells that we never thought actually could ever get there. There was this recent study in Madison, Wisconsin, which has wells at 250 meters. So we're talking a depth that most of us wouldn't think anything would get down to. And they were finding viruses from sewer lines down at that depth in a municipal well. Now, they were treating the water, which is fine. They chlorinate it. Everything's fine. But the fact that it could get down there means that our safety factor for assuming that if we go deeper, we're going to be immune to these things. Yeah, we may be immune to nitrate, but things like viruses may be able to get down there, and then there may be other compounds that, you know, are used out there in the environment that may get down there too. So not to kind of give the gloom and doom story here, but if you're in a municipal water supply, you're in good shape. If you're on a private water supply, you really have to be vigilant about testing and kind of being aware of what could be out there.
And also the cost has come into the discussion as well, the cost of water when there are such high levels of contaminants, mm-hmm. then, or perhaps, new contaminants that they didn't have dozens of years ago, that cost more money for the municipalities or the rural water associations to treat.
Right, and some of them they can't treat. I mean, there's really not much technology for some of these chemicals to really do much with. They come into the system, especially like pharmaceuticals, they come into the system, well, at least the water treatment system, they wouldn't treat them there. Even on the back end for the waste effluent system, they don't really treat for them there either. So this stuff just moves right on through most of the time. Other more common things, yeah, they do treat for, and the problem is that, especially in Des Moines' case, where they've got so much input of high nitrate water, they have to go to extraordinary expense to take stuff is really tough on the hardware that's in the well. It's a very corrosive environment, and it also tends to grow iron oxidizing bacteria, which tends to oxidize the iron and starts to coat the intake ports on the well screens. And so in Ames, what the city has decided to do is they have to go around and rehabilitate all the wells on a regular basis, because the net effect of this is to reduce the production of the well. So you, when you put the well in, you might be able to pump 1,200 gallons a minute. Now you're suddenly down to 500 gallons a minute. And a lot of that's because the outside is just coated with this iron mineral. It's actually a mineral that's on there. And so the well company has to come in and blast that off so that the well can resume its regular production. So on one hand, we have great quality water. It tastes really good. And part of that is because of the geochemical environment that this water exists in. On the other hand, that same environment wreaks havoc on our wells and keeps the city busy trying to keep rehabbing them and making them more productive.
Well, this brings up another situation. I know at Crestview Motorhome, which is just west on Lincoln Way of the city of Ames, is just maybe just a few hundred yards from the border, I know they have a really bad well. It's a public well that is serving the people who live in the mobile home, and everyone in the mobile home complains that the water is brown from iron, from rust.
Right.
And so it sounds like this guy has pretty much the same problem that Ames has, but just probably not the resources to deal with this expensive problem.
Yeah, I'm not intimately familiar with that problem. I know about it, and I know that they're on their own water supply there, which has always baffled me, because they're close enough to probably hook on to city, and I'm not sure what the deal is with whether they don't want to, or it's too expensive or whatever. These kind of common water supplies are always kind of an issue, because they oftentimes don't have the resources to really do what they need to do to make it a really good water supply. And any well that you put in central Iowa is going to have iron.
Once I was a big drop.